Well, everybody, this is Mary Craig Ministries, Craig House Christian Fellowship. We're in our series, How to Survive in the Kingdom of God. The message today is the Law of Responsibility. I am Dr. Mary Craig, and this is a lesson from the live teleservice January 9, 2022. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. And we thank you, Lord God, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our behalf. We thank you, Lord, that because of his life of perfect personal perpetual obedience, even to the death on the cross, because of his death and to pay the penalty for our sin, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day, and sits at the right hand of the Father Almighty. We thank you, Lord, that on that ground we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace and favor in a timely way. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we ask now that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth to guide us into the truth of your word, Lord, and to come as a spirit of wisdom and revelation to reveal Jesus Christ to us, Jesus Christ who is the wisdom of God. And Lord, we come in all humility before you asking for great grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we've been talking about how to survive in the kingdom of God, about how we are to live in God's kingdom under his reign and rule. We spent time considering the overarching law of cause and effect. God, the sovereign cause, man, the responsible agent, and secondary cause. We've been sharing some specifics under the principle, as we do, God will do. Today we're going to talk about the law of responsibility. We find it in Luke chapter 12. In this chapter, Jesus gives five warnings. We are to, number one, beware of hypocrisy and depend on the Holy Spirit. Number two, beware of covetousness. Three, beware of worrying. Four, beware of carelessness. Be faithful, work with integrity. Five, beware of spiritual dullness by utilizing discernment and diligence. It's in the section concerning carelessness that we find our law of responsibility. In Luke 12, verses 35 to 53, Jesus exhorts us to wait and watch for the Lord's return. Then he encourages us to be working when he comes. Each one has some work to do in this world, assigned to us by the Lord. Our responsibility is to be found faithful when Jesus comes. So let's listen to some of this from Luke 12, 35 to 48. All right. Let your waist girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, well, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food? In due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he isn't looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Luke 12, verses 35 to 48. We can also reference that to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. I care very little, however, if I am judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. We're not going to find it all so easy because we are aliens in enemy territory. Actually, the devil is here now legally, illegally. I'm going to repeat it because, hey, actually, the devil is here now illegally. It's like going into an area after you won the war and working to get the enemy to keep the terms of that victory settlement. So we will be warring as well. But today, we're going to look more deeply into Luke 12, verses 42 and following. And there is our law of responsibility found in verse 48. From everyone who has been given much, shall much be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask it the more. Luke 12, verse 48. Did you think about Joseph, the life of Joseph, while we were reading that? I did. I thought about Joseph and how he was so diligent, even when he was a slave, to Potiphar, and then he was falsely accused and put into prison. Still, he was very diligent to whatever work was assigned to him. Soon, he was put in charge of everything in the prison, and finally, he was put in charge of all Egypt. He certainly lived this law, from everyone who has been given much shall much be required, and to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. You see, the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. Now let's look at this. Relationships determine roles, and roles determine responsibilities. We have a responsibility to look for Jesus for his return. The motive for Christian life and service must be a desire to know God, to glorify him by enjoying him, to demonstrate supreme loyalty and attachment to Jesus Christ by keeping his commandments and by loving one another as we have first been loved by God, and to be found faithful at Jesus' return. Why? Because we are in relationship with God through Christ. That relationship determines our role, and our role determines our responsibility. Also, our relationship with others depends upon our relationship with the Godhead. Those relationships determine other roles, which in turn determine other responsibilities. So, determine relationships, roles, and responsibilities. So it's helpful to list our relationships, starting first of all with our relationship with God through Christ. After determining our various roles, we can list our responsibilities under each role. Favor carries with it responsibility. By grace, we have been given ability from God to respond in a God-honoring way, thus responsibility. It's a, you know, shortened version of responsibility. We are accountable according to the measure of God's gifts and graces to glorify God with our whole being. That is our function in the kingdom of God. For example, maybe we're praying and asking God for stuff. Maybe we want a windfall of money, a larger house, a company with 100 employees under us, a larger church, perfect health, more intelligence, higher and higher grades in school, friends, or salvation for family members. If we ask God for something, then we must be willing to accept the responsibility and expectations that go with what we ask. Listen to what we find in James 3, verse 1. Here we read, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment." That just means we'd be more accountable because with favor comes responsibility. So we're out there asking for these things, praying for various things, and we all want more. But what would happen if we did suddenly become a multimillionaire overnight? Could we handle it? Could we handle the money as a good steward of Christ? Have we been preparing ourselves by learning how to invest, how to manage money? How are we doing balancing our bank accounts, paying bills, staying out of debt, and managing what we have right now? More money may not be the immediate answer. Even if God supplied it, we may not be able to manage it. Look, this isn't just for adults. This starts in childhood. Parents are to train up their children to help them discover their gifts and talents and abilities and coach them. No parenting, do not despair. God is the perfect parent. He trains, prepares, disciplines, and loves with a perfect love. Now, I heard this in an interview on television, but I have a reference in the written portion of this to finding this message on YouTube. So the reference is in the written version of this message on the law of responsibility. But this was Navy SEAL Admiral William H. Nick Raven. Quote, "If you want to change the world, start off by making your bed." Make your bed. And Navy SEAL Admiral William H. McRaven has a book called Make Your Bed, or something like that, very close to that. Make your bed. So the military figured out the importance of making one's bed and thus accomplishing one task per instruction. If you've ever seen, just ask anybody that's been in the military the requirements for making your bed, what it involves and everything, because they have inspections. So we may groan and squirm, but making our beds each morning is proven to set the day for success. It starts one out with greater confidence. Make your bed properly, because if you can't get that right, how will you get it right in crunch time? The idea is overcome carelessness. And remember, it's the two things we have to do. We have to get right with God, and we have to get it right with God. We have to get it right. And I can testify that making your bed, you just get out of bed and immediately make it. That's the best way. It's the easiest way. Just get up, get out of bed, make your bed. You know, children get better at it in time, but they need to, you know, attempt it when they're little, and then as they get older, they can do a better and better job. Make your bed. And today it's much easier because they have fitted sheets. You know, we have no iron sheets. They don't have to be ironed or starched. And we have, what else do we have? Oh, we have these wonderful comforters. So a lot of people today don't even use a top sheet. They have the fitted sheet, no iron, wonderful fabric, and a comforter, which you just, you know, make it nice on the bed. But the bed is all made, you know, and it's very good. And if you had a bad day, at least you can come back to your bed and it's all made very nice. Everything looks very nice. And I'll tell you this too, that in counseling, one of the things that is a counseling homework that really does help people who feel depressed. What that is ironing, get the wrinkles out. We don't have too much anymore that needs to be ironed, but find something that does and iron. We have steam irons now. We have all kinds of wonderful things. We don't realize how wonderful they are. But ironing, and I can tell you this, in India, the men do the ironing because it's a more dangerous thing to do, a task. So the men do the ironing, and they have a lot of things that need to be ironed. Maybe they're happier because ironing really does help if you feel kind of depressed or, you know, down a little bit, whatever. But making your bed sets the day for success. The one who is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in much. Despise not small beginnings. Watch out when pressing God for something. Learn to be content. Trust the Lord to promote. Sound like tough love? It is, but without abuse, without evil. As Charles Spurgeon said, and as I often quote, look not to the honor, but tend to the responsibility. Paul was an apostle. His office and role and responsibility, he had a lot of responsibility. Romans 1:14 tells us about his sense of responsibility. Paul wrote, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Thus, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. And that's Romans 1:14. You see, Paul knew his responsibility. And I encourage everyone to check out his life story in the Bible, track it. Paul carried the burden of the churches. He endured persecution, prison, perils, and challenges in his good fight for the purity of the church and the gospel. And Paul finished well. Now, at its very base, it is an honor to be alive. We are responsible to our Creator for that life that He has given to us. As we grow in grace, we become more accountable. More is expected of us. Unlike too many parents, God doesn't expect more of us than He gives us in grace, gifts, and abilities. He does stretch us, though. They call it being stretched and having your faith stretched. But when we stretch, we get stronger. For what God requires, He enables by the outpouring of His Spirit, His grace, His love, His mercy, His truth, His light, etc. Do we want honor and a higher position in life? Well, then work. Work faithfully and diligently at the task for today. Write it down. Have a list. Have a grocery list. Have a list of the tasks you need to get done. And then, you know, when you finish some project, it might take more than one day, cross it off your list. When you finish the page, you have a list of all these things. You know, you don't need that page anymore. Just keep going with it. It's the ongoing list. A lot of people do it on their computers now. They have calendars, but sometimes the list, you know, can be most anything. Right now I'm in, you know, doing tax work, and so my list has a lot of things of deadlines and do this report and that report and blah, 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 you know. And then when they're done, when they're finished, then cross it off. And it helps me remember what's coming, what needs to get done. We can get training for where we want to be. For example, are we preparing ourselves to live eternally with a holy God in heaven? Are we preparing to meet Him face to face? Are we even making our bed? God always has a place for the person who is prepared. Now, a little inside thing. When I was in seminary, many years ago now, many times in my classes I was the only woman. And so the professor used to say, God always has a place for the man who is prepared. And then they would kind of look over at me and say, or the woman. So I just say, God always has a place for the person who is prepared. Let's get ready and act in accord with God's will as we now know it. Being sensible and faithful, God promotes those who are right now, obeying His will faithfully, getting ready for Him to show up again. Remember the law of responsibility. From everyone who has been given much, shall much be required. And to whom they have entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. They always say, if you want to get something done, try to get a very busy person to handle the task, because they're more apt to get it done than a person that doesn't have much to do. The busy person is a person who gets things done. They accomplish something. And also, the way I was raised, if you're really good at something, and whatever it is, it could be a talent you have or anything, and I was raised that I had a responsibility to help people who weren't so good. You know, it was harder for them to do certain things. Now, it worked out. I was, just because of the way I was physically made by the Lord, I couldn't do a lot of things, especially in phys ed. We call it phys ed. But I was good at a lot of other things that other people couldn't do. And so we would help each other. And when I was in college, I remember I wasn't real good at speaking French, but I was really good at reading it and, you know, writing in French and whatever, but not in speaking it, not conversational French. So I teamed up with another person who was very good in conversational French, but couldn't really write it and was always getting the tenses wrong, you know, and this and that. And they couldn't, you know, they couldn't read it or write it, but they could really talk. So we had this all worked out for two classes of French. In French, we both had the same two classes at the same time. And so we worked this out because you work in a team. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's in twos, like, that in the conversation class, I would ask a question that I memorized, and then he would rattle on in the answer, see, because it was so much time, right? And then in the other class, I would help him with the assignment, reading it and answering questions and whatever. I knew how to write the French, read and write French. But anyway, we both did well in the classes, but it was a collaborative effort, I'm telling you. Oh, my. Okay. So remember relationships determine roles, and roles determine responsibilities. Our primary relationship is with God. All other relationships depend upon it, that relationship. With favor comes responsibility. Do we want more from God? Start preparing now for the desired relationship and role. Where might we start? We can start with making our bed properly. So, you know, military people are probably, yeah. But people in the military say that it wasn't easy, but it did help them. Many people's lives were changed because of the military. And so that's good. It takes work. God has a place for the person who's prepared. Finally, let's be clear. Eternal life is a gift. Because we've been talking about working, and I want to make it very clear. Eternal life is a gift, a free gift to us, but a very costly gift of immeasurable worth. We cannot earn it, nor do we deserve it. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, and even that faith is a gift. It is all through grace from the God of all grace. We deserve eternal punishment. But Jesus gave himself as the offering to pay the penalty for our sin, satisfying divine justice in our behalf and for our benefit. God provided himself a sacrifice to ensure reconciliation with him, to enable redemption by the blood of the Lamb, to enable the cancellation of the debt note of sin, and thus free us from guilt and liability. Jesus bore the wrath of God, the curse. He bore the curse. He bore the sin and all righteousness as the only righteous one. Jesus triumphed over the kingdom of darkness, destroying its works. Jesus accomplished it. Our justification is by grace alone, by faith alone, by Christ alone. We receive Jesus into our hearts and through repentance, continually being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, we are sanctified. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, works wrought in God. These works we do empowered by the Holy Spirit who dwells within every true believer. And so we work. Jesus was sent by the Father to save a people, those given to him by the Father. He loses not one. The Father is working and Jesus is working right up to this very moment. His place at the right hand of the Father Almighty is exalted, such that as the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Yet our sovereign Lord walks and works in all humility, carrying out his role as Savior and Lord, fulfilling all responsibilities. We are not called to be Savior, but we are called to be disciples, to be learners, to follow Christ, and to be witnesses before the watching world. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this and for all that you have shown us from your word. And Lord, we do need your grace. We ask, Lord, that you will grant us this grace to obey through faith, which works by love. And Lord, help us to be loyal to you, to be faithful, because we know, Lord, that you are the one who is faithful. You are he that called us is faithful. And you, Lord, also will do it. You will do it. And you will be enabling us to persevere because you preserve us. You pity our frame and remember we're only dust. You supply all of our need according to the abundance of your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You are the one, Lord, who prepares us for promotion. And Lord, you are the one who blesses us. You empower us, Lord God, and so much more. You provide, and you pursue your enemies to their destruction. And so we give you the praise and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.